ship. Come one, come all, we'll open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. The Lord, I put my trust in you, and never be ashamed. Be ashamed. The mighty arm has rescued me, and I will praise your name. Voices in praise to the Lord. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning.
Lift up your voices in
praise. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord.
Lift
up your voices in praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord, praise to the Lord.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Pastor Otero will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and everyone, of course, is invited to join in that worship service. As is customary, on the last Sundays of the months of November and December, there will be no fellowship luncheon following this service today, and all other activities normally scheduled for Sunday afternoon are canceled. Our Wednesday evening service at 7:30 p.m. will feature the continuing lecture series of R.C. Sproul on biblical themes, followed by a time of prayer. Our Sunday morning 11 a.m. services, as you most of you know, are being broadcast live locally on KKMC at 880 on the AM band, and also live worldwide on the internet at our website at BethelMorganHill.org. And in addition, there are three other events being broadcast live weekly on the internet. These are our 10 a.m. adult Sunday school, the 5 p.m. Sunday evening service, and our 7:30 p.m. Wednesday evening service. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship now with hymn number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
Thank you.
Please turn now to hymn number 500, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 498, When We All Get to Heaven.
Together as a church body, our Heavenly Father, we come to you in this beautiful day that you have created. And we praise your name that you still have the beautiful church in which you are the foundation, and that we are so built upon that rock which is unmovable, Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, one day, this church of yours will be forever in heaven with you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I praise your name because this local church, Bethel, have accomplished a tremendous goal last week. We did have four missionaries last year that we gave a gift of $600 to them, but this year we have seven missionary families, and your people, out of their love, gave them $850 to each. And so, Father, it made me cry to see that we have a living church. As my good friend Raz said, we have a family. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the birthday party that we have for Maria, who worked so diligently here in church, and for Candace, who is in college and she was here, to look upon our people in another church building and to see their joy and their families together. Lord, make me proud, because I don't want to make a church with distinctions between adults and children and young children. I want a family. And you have given me, after 21 years of ministry, a family. And I'm in cloud 999, Lord, so happy to see that our church is not our building. Our church is not the goodies that we have on this earth, but the beauty of people for whom I care because you care. People who I am in charge to lift them up and to be strong in the Lord. And thank you, Father, for giving them to me so that I can care for them. Laura, we have some people in vacation, and we have Ramil, which I call Ramail, and then Laura and Nancy and their family in Chicago. We have Mary and Jack in Southern California, and I don't know others, but Father, whatever they are, let them perhaps visit the local church in the area, or perhaps turn the computer and listen to us over the internet. Father, tomorrow the ladies will have their Christmas party, their Christmas moment in which they're going to say, thank you, Lord, for sending us your son. And I pray that we'll be blessed, we'll be full of joy, and focus on that person who is everything, Jesus, our Lord. Lord, we have some people sick. Loretta Forrest, who will never walk, but it's up to you. And then we have Jean Lacey, who did have prostate cancer surgery, is not improving, and we pray that he will be in your care. He is the father of Missionary Lacey. And then for myself, Lord, I'm in a long process of recovery. I like quick things done because I'm busy. But you know how to slow me down. And a few Sundays ago, I was not here in the pulpit, and now I can still see scars in my face from that terrible thing that happened. And Lord, I don't know how many times I called the dermatologist, and he says something of which I should know, be patient. And so, Lord, this morning I listened to, early in the morning, to a godly man, Brother Stanley, and he said that you gave us this test in life so that we learn more about ourselves and more about you. And thank you, Father, for whatever comes in our way, because together with the trial, you give us the way of escape. Thank you, Lord. Now we have a beautiful church, a beautiful choir who loves to sing and praise your name. A wonderful man who read the scripture for us, who is ready to read again. And Lord, I'm ready to recall your people about the beauty of everlasting life so that they may know and focus their mind, especially as Christmas season come, focus their mind and the gift of God, Jesus. Together with us, oh God, we have missionaries, and we do have Fred and Carol Lewis, Carol and Ruth Renaud, Eusebio and Marisa Perez, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center. We have Giovanni, the Rhodes, Marta Ferretti. We have Lacey, and then the sport ministry here in San Jose for young people. Lord, thank you for allowing us to have so many missionaries that we can offer them some support so that in turn they can bring the gospel to different people in different places, places that we will never be there. I thank you, Lord, for the wonders of radio, and thank you for KKMC and Salinas who broadcast our service. Thank you, Lord, for the smart cookies that we have in our church that put the microwave and the internet, and we are every place in the world through the internet. And Lord, I receive emails to encourage myself, and emails to encourage the church, because they are listening from New York, New Jersey, Japan, Italy, many, many places, that you did this miracle, just that we use this time not for ourselves, but to present Jesus, because the Bible said that the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Son. And I can see it, that day is closer and closer and closer. So help me as a pastor to focus on Jesus and in Jesus alone. Thank you for providing for our church. Lord, your people are in times of crisis like we live today with few works and the pennies are really pinching. Nevertheless, your people are generous. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for each one of them. And for those who are still looking for jobs or have applied and have opportunities, like our brother Veloz, Lord, I pray you will grant them so that the work they need to support their family and to support the ministry. Thank you for the young people here this morning. I see a good number of them. Thank you, Lord. Teach them that focusing on Jesus is everything we need. The rest will be history. Thank you for loving us. Bless the offering. Bless the giver. Thank you for being today together. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 403. We will be reading Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come together in prayer and worship, in spirit and truth, because of your grace and mercy through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you by your grace that you have revealed to us yourself through the scriptures that our times are in your hand and that we don't know what events lie ahead, but we are secure in the knowledge that your promises can't fail, and that we have eternal life because of the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, Father, we pray, that we may be faithful, obedient servants. We pray now for our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. May you bless him and his teaching as he exposes the great truths of your word, the Bible, and that we might see Jesus. We pray for any listening here or on the radio or internet who have not come to know the Lord Jesus as Savior and Lord, that their ears would be opened and that they may come to believe on the only Savior and true God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother Joel, for the beautiful reading of God's Word. During this month of November, we have put ourselves in the study of something that is very important, and is this: what on earth I am here for? That's the study of November. What on earth I am here for? Remember, our first sermon was, it all starts with God. So life is not about me, but it's about God. Our second study was, you are not an accident. So if you want to know yourself, you have to know God, who created you and make it so beautiful and so wonderful in the way he did. Now, today our study will be like this: made to last forever. You buy a car and you know how long you will have it. Maybe in a good car, 10 years, 11 years, maybe 12 years. Our brother Casancha drove one for 30 years. But he repaired that car about 4 or 5 times and rebuilt his engine. You know the things in this earth are not lasting. But the Bible said you are made to last forever. This life is not all there is. life on earth is just a rehearsal. You will spend far more time on the other side of death than you will ever have, which is called eternity. I will say this. This earth is a preschool. The tryout for your life in eternity. The warm-up before the race begins. If you go to the gym before you start running, you do some warm-ups. You want your muscle of your legs, all right, put on. You stretch one leg and stretch the other, stretch the arms. And you spend 10, 15 minutes in your warm-up. Then you are ready. Then you step in the treadmill and you go. Well, that's what this earth is. It's just a warm-up, the stretching time before you enjoy the real life. This life that we have is a preparation for the next. Will you turn your Bible again to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11? If you have the Bible that is in the pew, this is the last time I say it, it's page 404 or 403, it depends on some of the Bibles, but the Bible in the pew is this. You who listen over the internet, if you have not a Bible, you go to our webpage and there is a way to get our Bible, the same to get our hymn book. Now here's what the Bible said. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he put eternity in our heart. Now in the King James Bible, he said, also he hath set the wall in their heart. The word the wall is the word olam. And when you say in Hebrew olam, means you will live continually, continually, continually. And there is no past and there is no future. We have no words to translate that except the word eternity, which we understand. Eternity is no past, no future. It's always there. Like the name of Jesus, I am. Remember in Exodus 3:14, and when Moses won a little car to go to the people of Israel and said, you see, God sent me. He said, who will send me? He said, go and Yahweh, I am, send you. I am. God is always there and always eternal. And so our text said that God has put eternity in our heart. Olam. You have an inborn instinct that longs for immortality. This is because God designed you in his image to live for eternity. Remember at the beginning of Genesis, the Bible said that God designed us in his image. Doesn't mean the eye looks like God, but the real me is like God who is eternal. And so God designed you for eternity. And that is wonderful. One day, your heartbeat will stop. That will be the end of your body and your time on earth. But it will not be the end of you. If you turn to your Bible to 2 Corinthians, and if you go to chapter 5 and in verse 1, page 681, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, look at what the Bible says concerning what I just have spoken. For we know, say 2 Corinthians 5:1, page 681, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. It's like saying something like this. For we are well aware that when the tent of our house that hold us on earth is folded up, you went to the beach and you put the tent. Yeah, can you believe it? All these years here in America, I don't know how to put a tent on the beach. You know who told me?
Jacqueline. So, oh, here's the way, Grandpa. And she showed me how to do it. Then when we finish our day on the beach, we have to fold that tent back. She said, I do it. Put everything neat. All right, one day that will happen to you and to me. God will fold this tent up. The Bible said there is a house for us from God, not made by human hands, but everlasting in heaven. That's what that text says. While life on earth offers many choices, eternity offers only two. Only two. God or hell. Look at what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. You move your Bible way to the back, Hebrews 9, 27. And look at what the Bible says. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9, 27. I translate it in this way. Since mankind is appointed to die only once, after which comes the judgment. In other words, your relationship to God on earth will determine your relationship with Him in eternity. When you fully comprehend that there is more to life than just here and now, and you come to the realization that life on earth is just a preparation for eternity, you will begin to live in a different way here on this world. I know the people who understand and believe in eternity with God because their life in this world is entirely different than the life of other people. You will start living in light of eternity, and that will color how you handle every relationship, every task, and every circumstances of life. Suddenly, many activities, goals, and even problems that seem so important will appear trivial, petty, unworthy of your attention. The closer you live to God, listen to this, the closer you live to God, the smaller everything appears, insignificant. See, when you live in light of eternity, your values change completely. You use your time and money more wisely to start with. Your priorities are reordered. And this is not my idea. If you turn your Bible to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, page 692, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, page 692. Let me show you what the Bible said. Philippians 3:7. Paul is giving a testimony and he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You see what Paul says? Whatever once my access were really important, now through Christ Jesus, I count loss. Now, the man who wrote that has 3 or 4 PhDs. And if you want to know those PhDs, you go to Galatians one day and read Galatians there, 3. And the churches can get pastors a little bit unhappy sometimes. And they don't like Paul. Paul was short, but the Corinthians said, ugly to look. Now, nothing to do with you if you are short, but that's what the church, the Corinthians said. He maybe did not dress to the standards they want to dress, but when he speaks, they said, it's like God talking. And so the church of Galatia got Paul really mad. And so, you know why? Not because of him. Because the Church of Galatia wants to say that salvation depends on your works and Christ. And Paul was saying, who told you that? And then he said, I am, he said. And then he started listing all the diplomas that Paul got from Gamaliel all the way to Tarsus. And man, oh man, this man, the God, he was a man of letters. And then quickly he said, I speak in the flesh and not in God time. In other words, he was not speaking in on behalf of his values. He was speaking on behalf of God. And that's more important than what he had. And that's happened to all of us. If your time on earth, well, all that there is to life. Suppose they said, Pastor, you're wrong. I don't believe a bit of what you said or what the Bible says. My time here is all what I have. Then I have a suggestion for you. You start living up immediately. You won't have to worry about the consequences of your actions. Because your actions will have no long-term repercussions, see? Bad. And this makes all the difference. Death is not the end of us. Death is not the end of us. Death is not your termination. A denomination called Jehovah Witness, in my estimation, is like a cult. That denomination said that when you die, your soul and body folds up, and you are gone, and there's no memory of you. If that was true, why to believe in God, I thought myself. But I tell you, death is not your termination, but your transition into eternity. So there are eternal consequences to everything we do on earth. You understand? There are eternal consequences to everything we do on earth. When you say, I care less about God, that rings in heaven. The most damaging aspect of this world today is contemporary living. Any act of life strikes some chord that will vibrate in eternity. We need to think about it. To make the most of your life, you must keep a vision of eternity continually in your mind and the value of eternity in your heart. There is far more to life than just here and now. That's what people live for, just here and now. Today is the visible tip of the iceberg. That's the way I tell people life is. Today is the visible tip of the iceberg. Eternity is all the rest you don't see under the surface. And so this brings to me to the sermon, the $4 million question. What is going to be like an eternity with God? Somebody asked me that question. Well, if that's true, Pastor, what is going to be an eternity with God? My first reaction is this. That actually, our brains cannot handle the wonder and greatness of heaven. That's the first answer. It will be like trying to explain an internet to an ant. Get an ant, put in front of the internet, and say, this is in the internet. And the ant cannot understand it. And that's what happened to us. We cannot understand eternity. Words have not been invented, I think, that could possibly convey the experience of eternity. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 9. 1 Corinthians, you go to the New Testament and you have Acts and Romans and then Corinthians. And chapter 2 and in verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I'm going to put this here, and I was hearing a noise in the pulpit, and now I got it. You see what the verse said? 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, said the apostle, I have no seen, no ear have heard, nor have the mind of mankind visualized the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We have no idea. That's what the scripture said. We have no idea. This was written to a very high class culture, the Greek people, the church of Corinth. Few miles from Corinth, you have Ephesus. Across Ephesus, you have a Parthenon, first building made by the measure of the module of a man. If you study architecture, you will know that every part of the building is one-tenth or multiple of one-tenth of the measure of the tips and the center of the chest of a man of a stature. I mean, those people were super intelligent. They were dramatically artistic. And Paul said to them, you have no imagination what eternity really is. However, God has given us a glimpse of eternity. You know where? In his word. We know that right now God is preparing an eternal home for us. In heaven, we will be returned with all the believers, released from all pain and suffering, rewarded for our faithfulness on earth, and reassigned to do work that we will enjoy. There is nothing bad, there is nothing worse in our life than to do a work that you don't like it. You know, if you are employed by somebody and you got a job, but you don't like the job, that will be miserable for you, don't you think? Thank God that everything I did in life, I enjoy it. Otherwise, it would be terrible, I think. Well, in heaven, God will assign us the scripture. And when we study Revelation this coming year, you will see God will assign us works that you will enjoy. Now, look, this is serious. If you turn your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew 25, page 589, Matthew 25, and verse 34, and page 579, you will see what I'm talking about. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The king will say to those on his right hand, after he collects the people from the world, in that judgment that we talk in Hebrews 9:27, come, you whom my Father hath blessed, take as your heritage the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. That's what God will be saying to the people that he will take into his blessing. God's plan involves far more than few decades you will spend on this planet. It is more than the opportunity of lifetime. Have you heard that sentence? People say, oh, I need that job. It's the opportunity of lifetime. Well, heaven is better than the opportunity of lifetime. God offers you an opportunity beyond lifetime. God said in his word, very strong words. If you turn your Bible to Psalm 33 in verse 11. Psalm 33 in verse 11, you will see what God is saying. It's very, very important that you appreciate the estimation of God. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thought of his heart to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his what? inheritance. This is what God is saying. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. Oh, change ideas. One time they talk about this man in a good way, and then he talks about their faults, and then they turn down the man and so on. But read, I have in the internet and every day, Zion is in California time, and then they give you the updates of the changes in Zion. And engineering, which I love to look on it. Something that was understood 100 years ago, is they have a discovery today, laws of science. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever. And people say, can we see that counsel? Yes, the law of gravity, for example. Who made the law of gravity? You say, well, somebody discovered. Oh, discovery is one thing, but who created the law of gravity? You get a pen, open your finger, and we'll go down. There is no way to change it. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. I don't know how people don't have a good mind to understand that what God created is stable and is forever. And this is one of the examples, the easy law, the law of gravity. And there is many other laws where the universe holds together. The day that God changes, that's it, all falls back. You see, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. You need to look eternity, not in a book of philosophy or in a book of science. You need to look eternity and what God said in His Word. The only time most people think about eternity is at funerals. And then it is often shallow. I preach in funerals, and before I preach, I just put my hands on the vine and take a look to the people like that. You saw me that doing that. Just a look. The Christian that smiles, well, the pastor forgot the sermon, they maybe think. But those who are no Christians, they really want me to hurry up and finish. I have preached in places where nobody, I think, was a Christian, at least the I know. I have been called by funeral directors on a rainy day that the pastor cannot go and said, can you take the place in the cemetery? And I have looked to the people, and everybody want to go, and nobody want to look what God said. They care less. The thought of eternity is shallow, sentimental thinking, and most of the time is based on ignorance. You may think it is awful to think about death, but actually, it's unhealthy to live in denial of death and consider what is inevitable, you will face it. If you are an Ecclesiastes, now back to the Ecclesiastes, go to chapter 7 in verse 2 in Ecclesiastes. Look at what the Bible said. Ecclesiastes 7 in verse 2, page 405. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Perhaps to the house of feasting is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Only a fool will go through life unprepared for what we all know will eventually happen. And I tell people, whether you believe it or not, we will die. Are you prepared for that? Somebody, I was sharing this in our coffee shop, you know, and those people are 80, 86. 83, and one day I talked to all of them and said, what happened to you, Pastor? You are so depressed, you're talking about death. I said, no, I see you. Well, you see me here. No, but I want to see you forever. Well, he said, our church, some of the people said, our church guarantees us that they will pray after we die and bring us up out of the purgatory into heaven. And one smart cookie lady over there said to me, you have an example about this world be a preparation of the world to come? Yes, I do. I do have an example. And you are part of it. How many children you have? She said, 4. Okay. as the 9 months you spend in your mother's womb were not an end in themselves, but a preparation to life. So this life is a preparation for the next. You got it? You and I spend 9 months or 7 months, those who are smart and get out first. You spend all these months, and that was not your life, even though you have full knowledge, full recognition of the voices you hear when your mother brought you to places. That's why some of you have inclination to music, because maybe your mother played when you were in her wombs. That's when you recognize the voice of someone. And that was not your life. You come out to life. And so this world is just a preparation for the next. One text is important in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14. Hebrews 13 and verse 14, almost at the end of your Bible. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. If you're going to put that Hebrew 13, 14 in a smooth translation, will be like this. Very, very simple. There is no permanent city for us here. We are looking for the one which is yet to be. That would be a good translation. There is no permanent city here. You know, you got to age, and I talk to people, and in the coffee shop, most of those people live in San Martin area, 10 acres, 15 acres. They bought it 60 years ago. And he said, we will look for a city where to live, and they are 86. He said, what do you mean you're going to look for a city where to live? You don't like over there? No, now it's too much. We like to have a city for retirement. Where? At 86, you need a city that has 20 hospitals. That's what you need. He said, no. He said, we are looking for a city here. Now, when you're 86, it's good to look for a city, no here, friend, for the city to come. So now I'm going to have a conclusion. I took time to let you know that we are made to last forever. Remember? Ecclesiastes 3:11. He, God, has put eternity into your heart. These words were written by a king to his son. Ecclesiastes in Hebrew means the preacher. And it was the words of Solomon to his son. And he said, son, God has put eternity in your heart. Now my question is this. Where are we to spend eternity? There is two choices, as I told you. Now I want to show you in the Bible. The first one is in John Gospel, chapter 17, in verse 3. You know John Gospel 17 as Jesus praying. Many people said the Lord's Prayer. That's in our Heavenly Father and so on. Really, that's not the Lord's Prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And that should be the disciples' prayer. Jesus told the disciples, this is the way you pray, our Heavenly Father and so on. But John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. And now in verse 3, he said, and this is life eternal. Boy, open your eyes, will you? I'm not spiritualizing here. I'm not saying this means this. I'm saying what the Bible says. And each time somebody teaches you the Bible, please have the common sense to say, please read me the scripture. And just tell me what the scripture says, not what you think the scripture says. That's very important. When you go to court, you read every document to the commas and period, don't we? To be sure that whatever paper you're going to sign is proper. When you sign a contract, you read the small letters and the big letters and the commas and the options and the perhaps so that you know. Well, the same thing in a spiritual life. Don't let people brainwash you. Just, you got a Bible. If you don't have it, just pick it up in the pew and take it home. And if you are listening to me, you have no Bible, our church will send you a Bible. Now, here is what John 17, 3 said. And this is eternal life, so we pay attention. Here's the definition. That they might know thee, the only true God, God Theos, the God of the Bible, Theos. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's it. That's choice number one. You can have eternal life. You can have eternal life, but you need to know Jesus, and you need to know the God of the Bible. There is no other God. There is no other Jesus. There is no other intercessor. There is no church that brings you to heaven. There is no somebody praying for you out of purgatory into heaven. There is no somebody doing anything for you. It's Jesus doing everything. That's it. And if you do not believe in Jesus, well, sorry, friend, here is the destination. Go to the last book of the Bible, and almost the last chapter, Revelation 21. Boy, more I read Revelation, more I like it, and more I understand life. I hope that when we do this book study next year, you come here at the 5 o'clock service, because it's going to be a dialogue. You can talk and I can talk, and we will put on the screen the text of the Bible, and we will see what the Bible say only. Now, Revelation 21. Revelation 20. In verse 14, and the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And now here is verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? You cannot make a decision after death. I talked to an elder from the Mormon church here in town, and he said, we will have a prayer meeting for the dead. I said, I have news for you. Maybe the dead are praying for you. If they are in heaven, maybe they are praying for you. You got the whole prayer meeting wrong. How can you pray for the dead? When we die, it's sealed. Where are you going to go? If you have Christ in your heart, and only you know that. I cannot put it in there. I cannot ask you, raise your hand, walk around the building. No, I don't want to play around with this. You read the scripture, and God speaks to your heart. And you know if you're a believer. I don't care if you go to the Catholic Church or the Pentecostal Church. Like Brother Greg had preached on the evening service. It is not what church do you really go. Is Christ really in your heart? Do you really believe in Christ? Do your life testify that every penny you spend, every time you spend, is just to let somebody else to know that Jesus is Savior? I have no enough words. I think I told everybody in Modesto, my church, we have 4 missionaries before, now 7 missionaries before. We give them $600 before, $850 before. I was so happy. I just want to fly and thank God. You know why? Because the best money invested in this church is not in building, is in missions. That's the church. You are the church. Sure, we need a building to be comfort for us and to do certain things. But building will not distract your money. No, with the board we have and with my teaching will be the mission of the Bible. Where are you going to spend eternity? Where? In heaven, you need to have Jesus. You need to believe in him. How I come to believe in Jesus? The Bible says, faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. You just read the Bible. Where do I start it? Where the Bible start? In Genesis? Just read the Bible in Genesis. When you have questions, just call me. Write an email. And I give you more reading. I remember when Russ was saved. He came with questions. I gave my Bible to Russ. I said, just keep on reading. And one day, Russ said, I believe. And what happened to Russ happened to me. It happened to many of us. But if you do not read the Bible, you have no faith. And if you have no faith, you die in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you end up in hell. There is no people that can save you from there. And that's what we preach. We don't want to see you in hell. We want to see you in the place God has prepared for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you gave us information in the Bible to remind ourselves that you have created us in your image with eternal life. That eternal place with you depends on what we do with God the Father and God the Son. So it is my prayer that you will touch the life of people that they may believe. And also it's my prayer for me and for our church that we should invest all the money we have in all the time we have and telling others about Jesus. Focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. And when all is done, Father, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Thank you so much. Father, we are grateful that we have encouragement, peace of heart, a tremendous uplifting as we trust Christ in this life. And then you promise that we will have eternal life with you. We are thankful. We are not proud of that because that's a gift of God. We were like anybody else without life. We have eternal life, but in hell, no in heaven. Until you touch our life somewhere, somehow, by a friend, by a book, by a track. Something came into our life and we got in touch with you. Father, thank you. I pray that in the same way you touch members of our family who perhaps have no idea, no clue who is God. Lord, I listen over the internet and I listen over television, and there are some people who have no clue who really is God. So, Father, change their hearts because you have power to. At least you change our heart and we are grateful. Protect us in this week to come. As the season of Christmas is everywhere, help us to have the real season, the eternal life. The real object is to show Christ. This is not a holiday. This is a Christian festivity where we have Christ as the center of the manger. Thank you, Father. Protect us. Help those who are, this reigning Lord, and then some people have traveled a lot. Thank you for the visitors that came to see us, Lord. Thank you. We are a family. Thank you for giving to me a family of believers. In Jesus, I thank you. Amen.